3 John 1 and 2, it reads, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health," that's talking physical health, "just as your soul prospers." It goes on, the third verse says, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren," and it means sister in two, "came and testified of the truth that is in you." What truth that is in you? "Just as you walk in the truth." Look what he said in the next verse. Focuses on the truth. He says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth." The truth of the matter is in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through." You didn't sanctify yourself, but it says the God of peace sanctifies you through and through. And then he goes, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." 24th verse and final verse, "The one who calls you is faithful," that's God, "and he will do it." He is the one that keeps you blameless. He is the one that keeps your whole spirit, soul, and body blameless. And I want you to know that that's what we're doing today. We're leaning on him. We're casting our cares upon him, for he cares for us. Pray with me as we just go into this word. I pray it blesses you as it has blessed me. Father, thank you so much for your presence, and thank you for you loving us enough to express that love in so many ways. Not simply waking us this morning, but giving us a heart to know you and a heart that desires you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to worship you and to praise you, because truly you are good to us. Thank you, God, for every brother and sister. Thank you for the one on my right and the one on my left. For God, you love them as well, and just as much. So, Father, I pray they get a blessing today. Pray for your neighbor right now. Pray that they get a blessing today in the name of Jesus. We pray for those that are watching online. We pray for those that are in DOC. I thank you, God, that you're doing an amazing work. Thank you, God, for Pastor James and the work and past all the other pastors that are doing a work in the kingdom there. So, Father, speak to us today. And, Father, we ask it and we count it done in the matchless name of Jesus. And those that agree with that prayer, why don't you give him a tremendous round of applause? Bless him, because he is God. He is God. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. As I think about this passage and think about the series and how much I've enjoyed it, it's been an amazing year already. Have you all also enjoyed the few weeks we've had so far? If this is a precursor of what it's going to be, man, it's going to be amazing. It is going to be an amazing year, no doubt about it. Why? Because we're starting off focusing our attention upon God. No wonder the scripture says, you know, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things are going to be added." So when you start off by seeking him, the other stuff is going to be taken care of. Can I get a witness in the house? And that means we're learning how to lean on him, learning how to trust him, getting the truth of his word, embracing the truth of his word. That one passage that really blessed me and challenged me actually comes from the book of Third John, when it says that, "Beloved, above all things, I would that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers." This is the truth of the matter about it. This is my heart. This is from God. This is from God to you. I want you to prosper. Be in health as your soul. And that differs so much from what I've heard. And then you get somebody testifying and they'll get up and that's why we try to monitor testimonies, because faith comes by hearing, but also doubt comes by hearing. Can I get a witness in the house? So somebody gives them, "Well, God put this affliction upon me, you know, so I would learn how to trust him. If I get, you know, sick enough, maybe I'll look." I said, that is not God. And if we begin to look at God as someone that punishes you, that makes you sick and gives you all these terrible things in order to make you turn to him, who wants to serve somebody like that? I didn't serve God because I was beat down, busted, disgusted, and sick and all messed up. That may have happened to me, but that's not why I serve God. I began to know that his love, we love him because he first what? Loved us. That's when I really began to serve him. Not all this stuff. And even when they preached hell, thank God that I said, yeah, I don't want to go there. But I really didn't learn how to love him. I learned how to do religion then. Let me stop doing all the stuff I used to do, because I really didn't know the heart of God. I really didn't understand that he loved me so much. I mean, he just loved him some Jerry Wayne. I didn't know that his thoughts were just amazing toward me. And it wasn't because of what I did, but it was because of what Jesus Christ did and his shed blood. Therefore, all the punishment that I should have taken, Jesus took it and bared it on the cross and told me, you can go free. Now, who wouldn't serve a God like that? He sent him for that very purpose. No more guilt, no more shame. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I finally came to the conclusion, and I want you to come to a similar conclusion, that God always wants what's best for us. And you said, Pastor, you've been driving that home. I want to continue to drive it home. Help me out. Say it with me. God always wants. Now, how many of you all really believe that? Now, if you were like me, I didn't used to think that. I was thinking that I was a disappointment to him. I was an accident. And then hear other people say we were mistakes. And then hear the teachers teach, not the Holy Ghost filled teachers, but them say, you are just, you know, you came from a big boom. And all things was just, you was in the room, in the water, and some just said, boom. And then something came out of the ocean. It was like a little thing. It was first some kind of little fish. And then the fish grew on the land and sprouted legs. And then this goo that used to be, you know, in the water came out and it turned to a frog, and it turned from a frog to an ape and finally turned to you. So they tell you that you were an accident and God didn't do it. So they say, well, it was first goo, then the goo went to the zoo, and then it was you. So you say, well, I must be an accident, but you don't know that you were fearfully and wonderfully created. Marvelous are God's thoughts toward you. You know, when I think about it, you know, when I think about the fact that he knew us before we even arrived in our mother's womb. You know, that's a loving God. We're the apple of his eye. I need to hear that over and over again so I can walk in that very thing. I'm created in the image of God. And God, his success, your success is for his benefit. Let me see if I can explain that. Mom used to tell us all the time she wanted us to, I wonder why she said, did you have on clean underwear, right? Yeah. Mom, why you ask me that all the time? Well, if you get hit by a car and you have to go to the hospital, I don't want them saying my son is in the hospital. I'm like, oh, Mom, please. How many of you all think like that sometimes? If something happens, I don't want my kids to go there and they bear my name. How, God wants you hooked up. You represent his name one particular time. And I got to prove this to y'all. Y'all messing with me right now. You know, one time Moses had to explain to God, God, you can't let this happen to your people. You can't destroy them, because if you destroy them, they know that they belong to you. And what kind of God would that make you look like? God wants you successful. Somebody give him a praise in the house. I can take it. Y'all are going to talk back to me today, right? God wants you to be successful. Above all things, I want you to be in health, prosper, even as just that changes a whole lot of things, a whole lot of thought processes that I have thought. And many of them have been, you know, have been given, and we've received from people that really didn't know him. And in fact, that's actually how this message was birthed. This series of messages that we've preached for the past 4 weeks have been based upon the fact that I was, getting it in. I mean, I was working hard, and I was, you know, we had a lot going on. Every pastor knows at the end of the year, after we had first anniversary, September, then the next month, right after that was some things going on, then Thanksgiving, and then Christmas, getting prepared, and messages, and then preparing, and at the end of the year, you got New Year's, and people saying, well, we need to see a report from the last year. We need something for the new year. And do you have a vision? They said, oh, Pastor, also, we need all of your themes for all next year so we can start planning. I'm like, oh. In the midst of all that, we have to do 4 rooftop units here, 2, took out boilers in other places and change control circuits in different places, take out all the old fluorescent bulbs, put in new LED. I mean, we had all kind of, you said, Pastor, you was busy. And I told God, and then going to the hospital, seeing people in 2 or 3 different new projects. There was a lot going on. And I was leaving. I was feeling pretty good myself. And I just told God, I said, God, you know what? You got your money's worth today. You know, I had a little chest out. I did not expect to hear back from God. How many of you all talked to God and not expect to hear back? You thought you'd just throw something out, you know. But he wasn't joking with me when he responded. He says, I don't get glory from my children being overworked, stressed out, worried, sick, tired, worn out, because my children do not trust and rest in me. So I had to say, okay, God, forgive me. He says, I'm going to show you how to rest. Then he took me to the scripture. The scripture goes something like this. This is Matthew 11:28. It says, come unto me, all you who are weary, burdened. And I was like, that's me. He says, I will give you what? And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Because you really don't know me like you think you know me. You really don't know me as you really need to know me. If you really know me like I really am, you will recognize that I am gentle and humble in spirit. How many of you know that that's what the scripture says? Now, this is Jesus sharing, and I know some of you say, well, no, I'm scared of Jesus, God especially. You know, in fact, let me just put your mind at rest, because the Israelites were the same way. Moses was hanging out with Jesus face to face, you know, talking to him like he was a friend. That's what the Bible, that's where we got that song, I am a friend of God. And the people were down at the bottom of the hill. They said, we don't want to talk to God. We don't want to, Moses, we'd rather talk to you. Can I let you know it's the same way today? Some people don't even recognize that they can talk to God, and they're no longer enemies of God, but you're friends of God. Why? Because Jesus has brought you in that tight, right relationship. We're righteous because of him. Somebody give God praise in this house. The word says, he says, I want you to learn of me. How many of you know I needed to learn? I needed to learn. First thing God began to teach me was about the Sabbath. He says, you can rest. And I said, well, God, there's so much to do. He says, you won't be able to do it, and especially in your own strength. Some of us have been running in our own strength, and God says, I've got something so much better for you, so much better for you. And if you would really know that, know my heart for you. He says, for my yoke is easy, this is the 30th verse, and my burdens are light. Now understand, when it talks about yoke, we struggle with it. And I hear the tone of voice right now that you're already looking at me with. Say, what you mean this thing is easy? I'm just saying what the scripture says, and Jesus said it. So if you don't believe the rest of it, believe the red, okay? For my yoke is what? Now, I didn't put that in there, and I'm not massaging it. I'm just letting you know what the word says. And he says, my burden's like, I didn't know how to take it, didn't know how to, commentary-rise it, if you will. He said, my yoke is easy. I said, well, Lord, maybe I've been doing this thing wrong. If you say your yoke is easy and my burden is light, how many of you all have ever felt that things are heavy? And then you get some of them songs, nobody knows. The trouble, they put some vibrato in it, make it really sound bad. I've seen. And then you get so, you know, I'm climbing up, the rough side. Man, you get those songs, man, you be feeling after you leave church. And sometimes you get happy in church. You guys go, yeah, I'm climbing up the rough side. If you're climbing up the rough side, then maybe you might not be doing it right. Now, I'm going to move on because y'all may not like me. I never heard this preached before, so therefore, I'm learning the heart of God. He says, you know, take my yoke upon you. When somebody yokes with you, and Gary, you just happen to be close enough, and Gary's a little bit stronger than I am. So therefore, if I put a yoke on him, and I'm yoked with him, and he's a lot stronger than I am, which that's questionable. but if he is yoked and he is strong, we're just making believe that he's stronger, a lot stronger than I am. That means that I would be getting the benefit of his extra strength. Now, what if we yoke ourselves with God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the one that speaks and things happen? We're yoked with him. Now we are basically along for the ride because we are in partnership with him. We are yoked with him. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I begin to think, well, Lord, maybe I've been doing it wrong. So this example came, not a perfect example, but it's a good illustration. Yesterday, Gigi was in the kitchen. She brought me this jar to open. And I think when she brings jars, she does it to make me feel good sometimes. So open this for me. And then I grabbed it. And I couldn't open it. Put it down in the chair. Couldn't open it. Looked at the top. It said push, turn, unlock, twist, this, that. I said, man, I got to read instructions to open the thing. So I said, teacher, I really didn't have a whole lot of time to read the thing. I said, hey, babe, I'm gonna get this back to you. Destiny's here. Give it to her. She can open it. And she's only 105 pounds at the most. I'm just guessing. She's a shorty. So Jita tried first. She tried to open it again. She was straining. I mean, I saw her just twisting. I said, it's not about strength. You know, somebody got to read and go through the thing. So she gave it to Destiny because we was both, you know, sometimes you get older, you want to give it to somebody younger, they can do it a little bit. Same way with computer. I ain't messing with all that stuff. I'm calling somebody that knows how to do that. It would take me so much longer to do what they can do in a short period of time. And I'm yoked with them. So therefore, Destiny came and said, hey, here's the thing. Man, in about 30 seconds, she had it. Didn't strain one bit. Pop, here you go. Here you go. Can I let you know, my friends, that when you're yoked with someone, you don't have to do it all. You can just give it over to somebody else and say, hey, you work this out. I'll just rest. Because we're in this together. Can I let you know that you're not in it by yourself? God is with you. When you learn how to stop trying to operate in your own strength, God, I'm casting this upon you. I can't handle this. Some of y'all's boss is tripping. Y'all been trying to fix it. I can't do this, God. Here you go. Here you go. You handle this. I can't open this one. Are you with me today? Man, some of y'all are dealing with spousal issues. And we get quiet in the spousal issue section. Children issues. You can't do it. What does it mean that that's where we go, I'm climbing up on the rough side. Yeah, God, I'm climbing up. And he says, cast your cares where? Why? Because he cares for us, so we got to learn how to cast our cares upon him because he can handle it so much, and we're yoked with him. How many of you know that he'll make your yoke light? He'll make it easy, and he'll make your burdens light. Somebody give God praise in this house. So not only does he want what's best for us, he knows what's best for us. And some of us think, well, I know what's best for me. God knows because he knows the past. He knows where you are, and he knows where you're going. He knows your future. He can call it and make sure that you take the right path because he says the steps of a good person, good man, are ordered of the Lord. Are you with me today? So therefore, sometimes my thinking needs to change. So therefore, if our way of thinking is contrary to the truth of God's word, we live short of God's best. We do. If my thinking or my way of thinking, and I've had some bad ways of thinking, if I think that if I thought that God doesn't like me, I'm thinking off. If I think that God is disappointed with me, then I'm off because I'm looking at things from the fleshly standpoint. When God sees me, he doesn't see me from the fleshly standpoint. He doesn't see me from the soulish standpoint. He sees me as someone that's been born again, my new spirit. And if I worship him, I got to worship him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? That means that since God is a spirit, he sees me as a spirit, and my spirit is crying out to him. Boy, I feel like I could preach on this one. I'm just letting you know, my friend, that it goes beyond, you know, what we think in this natural mind, our human reasoning. It goes beyond our bodies, whether we're tired or not. When we get locked into the spirit, man, we can do above abundantly. I mean, we can do all things through Christ because he gives us the strength, because it is Christ on the inside of us and not ourselves that's the hope of glory. I want you to begin to depend and become dominant by your spirit, man, and not your soulish man, and certainly not your flesh, man. Somebody give God a praise in this house. Woo. That's why that scripture says, I beseech you, brethren, before the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. And then, you know, don't be, help me out, conformed to this world, but be what? So I need to be transformed. A metamorphosis needs to take place. Transformed from this mindset, this thinking, to the mind of Christ. Because we have the mind. Can you imagine being part of a church that has the mind of Christ? Man, when sickness takes place, they don't say, where's the aspirin? They say, come bring him to me. When the devil shows his ugly face up or a demon in their house, they don't say, let me call the pastor. They say, no, I know that I've got authority. Y'all don't hear me today. Thank you, Jesus. When it comes to an issue where a situation where your money might be funny that week, you don't sweat and don't stress about it. Why? Because, you know, the same Jesus that's on the inside of us, when they needed some money, it was about tax time, probably around this time. You know, he just said, hey, go to the fish's mouth. Go first fish you find, open his mouth, pull out money, go pay taxes, and bring me the change. He said, bring me the change. But had to be some extra. He said, go pay taxes. Take care of it. Can you imagine having that? Nothing surprised him. Nothing caught him off guard. He didn't have to sweat anything. And we're followers of him. We need that type of confidence, that type of boldness. Are you with me today? He's calling us to that. And as we become sensitive to him, we're going to see things take place. We're going to see miracles in this house. Are you with me today? So let me take you to the next point. There's a passage that kind of goes together. Didn't get a chance to get all of it in the early service and probably won't deal with all of it today, but I'll get as much as I can. There's a passage that causes me to think. It's in the book of John, the 5th chapter, and we'll begin at the 7th verse. And it says this, now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, and we call it the Pool of Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people. There were sick people in the pool, and they were there for a reason. They were blind, they were lame, they were paralyzed, but they had one thing in common. They were waiting for the moving of the water. They were waiting for the moving of the water. Shout it with me, they were waiting. Now understand, they had needs because they were sick, they were blind, some lame, some paralyzed, but they were all waiting for the move of the water. So it wasn't that they did not believe, they believed, but their belief system was somewhat in air. Can I share this? They were there and they had issues. They had issues. It reminds me of today in America. You know, we have issues. I can leave that one right on the screen. You know, we have issues, and some of us, yeah, we are sick, and some sick and they know they're sick, and other people, they're sick and they don't even know they're sick. Man, I don't even want to start naming, but from the White House to the poor house, to our government, you know, and I'm talking about in Illinois. And some say, well, you know, they're doing some, but I'm telling you what, man, some of the things we're coming up with, somebody's sick. Glory to your name, God. And I want to move on, but man, and I thought you went to school and that's what they taught you. Man, I gotta move on. But there were sick people and blind, I think, both physically and spiritually. They were lame. They were paralyzed. And I think this is a picture of many of us today, stuck, blame, not see, blind, not seeing God's plan. But we need, our eyes need to be, there needs to be an awakening. We need to walk, but we've been stuck and held up, and we're waiting for something, but what we're waiting for is not necessarily how God moves all the time. You know, they're waiting for something that they've seen before, but God says, you know, why are you waiting? And this one scripture that I love, and I didn't get to read it earlier today, but it's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus is talking here, and it's written in red. It's because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. In other words, I came to preach to poor folks. Poor in spirit as well as poor in money as well. As well. And he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's why I came. To proclaim liberty to the captive, those that are in captive and bondage. And I came to set those that are blind. I came to open their eyes. I came to set those that are oppressed. I came to set them and tell them that this is the year of the Lord. This is the year of the Lord's favor. Can I let you know that he's talking about right now? Right now is the year of the Lord's favor. But he says, you're still waiting. And then he asked him a question. Are you he's still with me here? He asked him a question that absolutely blows me away. It causes me to think. The man goes on and says, for an angel went down and at a certain time into the well. And when the first one who steps in with the water being stirred was made well, and he was healed of whatever disease took place. So there was a stirring that took place. I look at it as a whirlpool, like a stirring. And the first one that gets in, steps his foot in, they're going to be healed. And there was a stirring going on, but this man, you know, and he had seen it, and what he saw previously set his opinion of how God had to move in the future. So I'm waiting because, you know, religion says that this is how it has to be done. Can I just share this with you? Sometimes God blows us away because he comes and he does new things before us, and we think he's going to do it the same way. We think it's going to come in this manner. So therefore, it has to be like this, and you have to come up and ask for prayer. You have to have this done. God says, no, I'm God, and I can blow your mind. I can do it in such an amazing way this time and do it a different way next time. Are you with me? So it wasn't that they did not believe because they believed. But they just didn't believe that God was going to do it. You know, he thought he was going to do it the same way. Here, follow this. I believe there's going to be a move in the atmosphere today. There's going to be a move in the atmosphere in 2020. God is going to do an amazing thing. But it's not going to look like it used to look. Oh, God. And those that are stuck in the yesteryear, they'll miss out because they say, well, this is how he has to do it because that's how he did before. No, God will do a new thing. Are you with me today? Man, I feel a praise coming on today. Church doesn't have to look like it used to look with hymns and the same old way it used. It don't have to look like that. God might raise up a group of people, and they might be in the gymnasium. They might be doing rap, but giving God the glory in the rap. They might have their hair all messed up and painted with different colors. But God will do something new, not the same thing every time. We get messed up when we try to predict God. Well, I feel this thing. Somebody just shout hallelujah in this house. I mean, shout it in the house and give him praise at the time. Hallelujah. So therefore, he says they're waiting for something, and they're waiting for the angel to move the water and the first one that steps in. And he says, now there was a certain man that was there, and he had been there a long time, 38 years. That's a long time. And then Jesus recognized he had been there a long time, and Jesus asked him the key question. The question is this, do you want to be made well? It says, do you want to be made well? Because I know someone that can make you well, spirit, soul, and body. Do you want to be made well? And I'm not sure you've ever asked a person a question, and instead of them responding to the question, they go around the corner, down in the basement, back to the ceiling, come back, and then you forgot what you asked them. So he says, do you want to be made well? And the Bible says that the sick man answered and said, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool. Did I ask you about a man to put you in the pool? And when God speaks to us, even today, and sometimes he says, this is what I have for you. I want you to rise. And he said, well, Lord, we don't have a revival. We don't have a revivalist. We don't have an evangelist. So, you know, for a revival, somebody got to call somebody from out of town. Who we know from out of town? He may not do that like that anymore. I'm going to preach whether you like it or not. You know, Naaman, what about Naaman when he says, I want to be healed. And then he says, well, I'm not even coming out there to talk to you. Why don't you just tell him to go dip? Well, I ain't used to doing that. He could at least came and address me and tell me to dip in the dirty water. Why I got to dip in the Jordan water? Do you want your healing? What about the man that was born blind from birth? And the Bible says that he could not see. And the disciples asked, well, who sinned? This man or his parents that he be born this way? And then Jesus says, you know, neither this man nor his parents. Or when he spit in the dirt and somebody said, Lord, why would you spit on the blind man? spit in the dirt and wipe his hand in it and then begin to and rub it on his eyes. Then said, now, blind man, now you go see. Can you imagine spitting dirt in your face? But you came back seeing. Came back seeing. Came back seeing. I came back seeing. So therefore, Lord, it don't have to be like it has been in the past. Do a new thing in me. Do a fresh thing in me. I just want your will to be done in my life. Are you with me today? Somebody give me a shout in this house. So let me share this part with you because I want you to grasp this because this is something you can take home. You know, behind every stronghold is a lie. You know, how do you equate the two? Well, first of all, they were thinking this is a stronghold. A thought turned into a mindset, and a mindset turned into a stronghold because they said this is the only way we can be healed. So all of us are sitting around here waiting for something, and the person has already come. They're sitting there saying, well, one of these days we're going to have a revival. One of these days something's going to happen, and one of these days it's going to be stirred because this is how we're healed. This is how we're delivered. This is how we can walk again. And he's like saying, well, wait a minute. You know, I am so much bigger than that. I'm God. And you think I can only work through an angel stirring the water every now and then? Can I let you know that, folks, today God is saying the same thing. When you limit me, you got to take me out of the box because I am God. In the same way I moved a long time ago, I may not move that way. Thank you, Jesus. So some of these religious strongholds need to be pulled down. Are y'all with me today? Because we think it only can happen this way. The man only has to hoop every now and then, or he has to do this way. He has to slide, has to have a handkerchief, has to have a suit. God goes beyond all that stuff. Whew, I feel a praise coming on. Thank you, Jesus. When did you see the preacher? He didn't even have on a suit jacket. You see him, he didn't hoop one, didn't even sweat, didn't pull out a handkerchief or nothing. Behind every stronghold is a lie. Same way when it comes to people say, well, people just don't want to be saved no more. That's a lie. People want to be saved. Sometimes they just don't know what they're looking for, but we got to tell them, man, there's a salvation in Christ Jesus. Folks want to be saved. They tell me, well, people don't just love God. That's a lie. That's a stronghold. Needs to be pulled down. People aren't getting healed any longer. That's a lie. The Bible says by his stripes we're healed. We were healed. We still are healed. We're going to walk in that healing. And I know there's some people that, Pastor, will tell me why. Well, can I just be real with you? And this is my testimony. I remember one of my faithful prayer warriors. Her name was Loretta Poss. And man, we love her so much. She'd pray for us. She knew that was her calling on the church, just to pray and intercede for us. And Mother Cole. And I prayed for them when they were in the hospital because of God. I said, they prayed for me when I didn't even know what to pray for myself. They interceded and they stood in the gap. And what they did was just as important as what I do on Sunday morning. And I watched them die before my eyes. Messed me up. Or my boy that I thought would replace me, he would be my replacement, Jeremy. You know, when we prayed and believed God, you know, I'm saying, God, you know you're going to do this. I still with my family, and my family was praying. They call all over the world, and we had thousands of people interceding. I believe without a doubt that he was going to get up. And I'm just letting you know that I knew. Some people say, well, you didn't have enough that faith that you I hate to say you're a lie. That's not true. Faith was not the problem, because our own believers, our prayer warriors, we stood at the very, not only at the hospital and after he was pronounced dead, but we went to the morgue and we stood there laying hands on the morgue, believing and calling forth life out of his body. So we went inside the morgue, laid hands and believed God, that God, we believed with all of our heart that he was going to get up. I'm just letting you know that, and I knew how serious it was when the director of the hospital security came and he called me and says, hey man, you got to get these people out here. Your people are down here and y'all need to get them out because this he's not getting up. And y'all got this, it's all kind of people down here and they praying and you need to get them out of here. And I said, I prayed to God. I said, God, do it for this doubting man. Do it. That's how serious. So it wasn't about, but it didn't happen. Here's my point. Just because you pray and some things come to fruition and some things happen and you see signs, miracles, and wonders in some places and it doesn't happen somewhere else, just because it doesn't happen, that time, you don't throw it all out and say it doesn't work. Are you with me today? Thank you, God. Because some of us, you know, have been stuck based upon our past. So I put it like this. Could our belief system be limited to our past experiences? If it didn't happen, then it must not be meant to be. If it didn't happen then, if Pastor prayed for us, laid hands, and we didn't see, you know, the results right then, well, just maybe, you know, your belief system cannot be based upon what happened in the past, because the past is in the past. This is a new day. And God is doing new things. Are you with me today? See, they were stuck around the pool of Bethesda believing that wasn't going to happen until the angel stirred the water. But God says, no, I'm about to do a new thing. I'm about to show you something totally different. Can I let you know today that God spoke to my heart? He says, I'm getting ready to do something in at abundant faith that's going to be so amazing. It's going to blow some minds. But you've got to get away from the old belief system. Don't let your old belief system keep you from moving into what I have for you, because I've got something totally new for you. And some of us, I wrote it like this. There's a danger of us living in the past. Some of us think, you know, just because we got a bad man that all of them are bad. Let me say it one more time. I ain't let no man. I'm just letting you know that if we get we living in the past, that's dangerous living in the past. Well, I invested one time and lost my money. I'll never invest again. And you're missing all that God has for you. I gave an altar call once and nobody came to give their life to God. I witnessed to somebody and they slammed the door in my face. I'll never witness again. You cannot live in your past. Are you with me today? You've got to move beyond your past. Somebody give God a real good praise. In fact, if you want to know the truth about it, you know, I would not be here if everything I did always worked out perfectly. I would probably be somewhere. No, but I say, God, you know, I can't understand it, can't explain it. But this one thing I do know, that you're God. And I know that your word is true. And I know that forever, oh Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And I try to dismantle every lie with the truth of God's word. I gotta let you go, but I know my time is up. But you all know that I got filled up just receiving what God was downloading into me. I said, God, I can't wait to download in your people. Like, here's what he says. Here's what he says. He says, after you get past all those excuses, who jumped in front of you? Nobody to put you in. We're back to the same question. Do you want to be made well? I ask you all today, folks, do you want to be made well? Spirit, soul, body. He tells them this. He says, rise up. Take up your mat. Just begin to walk. The Bible says the man just immediately didn't try to put human reasoning on it. He just said, hey, if he said do it, it's time for me to get up right now. So I can just see him right now laying down. And the man says, rise up, rise up. He just, take up your mat. Now walk. Can I let you know that God is speaking to us today and said it's time out for excuses. It's time out for you living in the past. God says, rise up, take up your mat, and let's get to walking. Stand on your feet as we give God praise.